We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Sal's going to join us here on our Wester Hotline, and we're taking your calls as well. What the Bills need to do to get better, to meet the gold standard, Kansas City. A couple guys talked about it on their Zoom calls yesterday. We'll bring that up. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. Got questions, comments, opinions, whatever else you want to get to. We have phone lines open for you. Sal's segment brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Sal's not through with us just yet. Well, he still has a busy week ahead.
Because I've got questions, comments, and opinions.
Well, then you know what? You can call us. Go call 803-0550 like everybody else. Sal, good morning, sir. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the first really full, true day of the offseason.
Yep, it is. And good to be with you guys. Yeah, absolutely.
Nice to be with you, too. So the Beasley thing, huh? So that's always it's not the first time that a player has said, "Oh, by the way, when the season's over, here's what I was playing with." But it's still interesting to hear guys talk about playing with, you know, partially broken fibulas.
Amazing, it really is, to think about anybody doing what he does for a living and to do it on a broken leg, essentially. Now, I know he said it wasn't a full break. I don't care what that means. Partial break, full break. He has a broken leg in his body, and he's running, and he's getting tackled, and he's cutting, and he's playing professional football. It's pretty amazing, you know, what these guys do, the stories we hear every year. Look what Drew Brees' wife, you know, put out there about all the things that Drew went through this season, you know, and what played through a torn rotator cuff and the 11 broken ribs, whatever it was. Like, every year we hear about things like this. We're probably going to hear about other guys who had some surgeries, some cleanups, but this kind of thing is just, these guys are freaks. They really are. It's incredible.
I thought it was kind of interesting, too. Somebody asked Trey White about the challenges of the season.
And that would be me.
Oh, was it your question? It was a good question. I mean,
thank you.
You know, the behind-the-scenes stuff with all the COVID protocols. I mean, not just, you know, no OTAs. Everybody went through the same challenges, by the way. The Bills weren't the only team. But, you know, the lack of the OTAs, the offseason, and then all the protocols. And, Trey's talking about guys not seeing family members. You can't hang out with guys at their houses during the season. We wouldn't notice that. We're just watching them play on game days. But it had to be for them and other guys around the league. I mean, there's no other season they've ever had like this in their lifetimes.
I don't think people really realize all the things that had to go into this year.
Yeah.
It's truly, and you know, even I don't, but at least, you know, I'm seeing it from our vantage point of being reporters and going down to the stadium. Our lives changed a lot in how we could cover the team, but you know, knowing all of the protocols that went into a lot of what they had to do. And then to hear Tre'Davious White say, "I haven't seen my dad since May or June." And I know that he sees his dad, you know, much more often than that normally. He said he's got a one-year-old son at home. He hasn't been able to see his family, basically. These guys, they shut it down to play football for the many months that they had to. And remember, and the reason I asked him specifically was he was thinking of opting out.
Yeah,
remember that?
Right.
And he had said, "I hadn't made my decision yet." This was right before the season started. And then he obviously stayed. Like a month later, there was a contract extension that came for him. You know, he played the whole season. He had the back issue. He missed a couple games. And then he talks about all these different things that go into it. Yeah, guys, I mean, this was a challenging year for everyone who was involved with football in every level, in every aspect. But these guys, these players, and, you know, how they had to treat it and what they had to do, they sacrificed a lot. And I would say that, you know, even though the rules were the same for every team, I don't think every team treated everything the same. You know, I think from the beginning, the Bills were very good at following all the protocols and making sure that their guys, you know, they went the extra step to make sure they didn't have any issues. And sure, a few came up during the year, the COVID stuff, we know that. But there were a lot of other teams, or other teams that had a lot of other issues. And from the beginning, when they had the infectious disease control plan, the Bills were one of the first teams to have theirs submitted and approved. And we had been hearing stuff in July and early August about all the different things that they're doing, you know, at their facility. So it doesn't surprise me at all to hear, like, how basically, you know, bubbled, if you will, personally, these guys were.
You know, the Trey White thing, I think you're right. It's interesting, too. And, you know, we said this somewhere during training camp. I don't know. Maybe it was the Zoom call after he signed his contract. I can't get enough of listening to this guy, Sal. I think he is really, of all over the years of listening to guys do interviews, he's fascinating. I love his Zoom calls. He gives you completely honest answers, very, you know, gets deep into different answers and get really, it's fascinating. But I'm glad he opted in. Look, I wouldn't have held it against him. Nobody would if he decided not to play this season and he was worried about the health of his family. And I think, you know, it would have been really tough. Here's Beasley talking about how it was hard for him to watch week 17. I can't imagine if Trey was unable to play or decided not to play this season, and then this team goes on this run, it would have been really hard to be outside watching it. And of course, they're better when the guy plays anyway. But I thought about that too. I am glad he was able to opt in and able to play and stay safe, because what a great season. And it would have been, I think, really difficult to not be a part of this. And he also talked about, maybe it was in the answer about the COVID challenges, but no, I think it was something else. Anyway, it doesn't matter about, you know, the team coming together and what, you know, the bond they built and all that stuff. It was just, he was really cool. I was glad he played, because I think it would have really driven him crazy to not be part of this.
Green Oaks High School valedictorian.
Oh, is that right?
White.
Really?
Yeah, he's really.
That must
smart
have been
guy.
A hell of a speech. I can imagine what it would have been. You know,
I know, right? I mean, he's a really smart guy, and he's very thoughtful. And I agree with you. And you usually get really honest answers from him. So it was good that Tre'Davious played this year. He had a good season. I don't know if it's quite the level of the season he had last year. You know, he was a first team All Pro last year. He wasn't this year. You know, shown in there. But I mean, that's a pretty high standard to live up to, obviously.
Yeah.
He's going to be a guy that they're going to rely on for a long time, because he signed that contract extension. It's a long-term contract extension. He's in Buffalo for at least another, 5 years, I think, after this year now, again, still. So, yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said there about him. And there were a lot of challenges this year, like I said. So, you know, yesterday, just on a personal level here, there was a point yesterday evening where it kind of, like, hit me. Just the mental, I just went up to my wife and I gave her a big hug. I did, and I said, I'm just really mentally exhausted. Like, I didn't realize, like, how mentally draining, like, I think it was the last few weeks, though, all the playoff games and things like that. It wasn't, like, from the season to season, like, these guys. I'm not putting myself in the category of the football player. Believe me. What I am saying, though, is that it was a different season, and it's not, sure. There wasn't the same routine as what we normally go to.
Oh, for sure. The extra month of the season, yeah, absolutely. I completely understand what you're talking. That's the way it was in the early 90s. I completely get what you're talking about.
Yep.
Hey, Trey also talked about Kansas City and the gold standard, and trying to come back next season and beat Kansas City. And I think Josh Allen was asked about, you know, what is the gap between you and Kansas City? What do you think is the gap right now between the Bills and the Chiefs?
There's a gap. I don't think the gap is quite as large as what has appeared on Sunday. I think you had the Kansas City Chiefs, who are better than the Buffalo Bills, but also played a really good game, and the Bills did not play a really good game. You know, and sure, some of it contributed to each side, but I don't think the Bills brought their A game. I think Kansas City played their best game they've played in a while, so that really accentuated the gap, if you will. I also think the Bills didn't play, as we've talked about, maybe aggressive enough, as if they wanted to, you know, make sure that they took their swings, and it seemed like they kind of waited and waited for their opportunity, and it never came, and that just widened the gap basically throughout the game. But it's there. There's a gap there. There's still, you know, Patrick Mahomes is still the best quarterback in the AFC. Josh Allen certainly had as good of, or probably I'd say better regular season than Patrick Mahomes. It doesn't mean that he's on Patrick Mahomes level right now consistently or constantly, but there's a gap there, and it doesn't know that it's always going to be like that in pro sports. And there's a lot of challenges. I did Kansas City radio yesterday for a little while, and we had this very same discussion. They asked me the exact same question you just did. Basically, what's the perspective from Bills fans as far as the, you know, where they are in relation to Kansas City and where Josh Allen is in relation to Patrick Mahomes? I gave the same answer I just gave you, but then, you know, what we were talking about was how the challenges of both teams going forward here because of, you know, contractual situations and salary cap and, you know, Mahomes' contract starting to kick in and then Allen having to, you know, get a contract. All those things are going to matter as you go forward. And organization, of course, matters too.
Excuse me, sorry about that.
With regard to that, Sal, you know, a lot of times we will say, I feel like it's been said year after year, this team isn't one player away. You know, this team's not one player away. How about now? Are they one player away?
Yeah, I mean, they might be.
It's got to be the right player. Good enough. It depends who that guy is, of course. But
yeah, they're good enough to get to the Super Bowl this year. I mean, they ran into Kansas City. What if Kansas City loses the game to Cleveland, right? I mean, the Bills probably are in the Super Bowl this week, I think. They play Cleveland at home. So, we won't even ask you, are they one player away, because they're there.
I don't know, Jeremy, what that
one player looks like or who it is, but they're right there. I mean, if you could probably go around the roster and inject one player at one certain position you're thinking about and saying, put that guy in, and now you have a better chance to beat Kansas City. But I think that – I don't even think they're one player away. I think they're there, but they can still get better.
Well, I mean, I think it's tough to make the case they're there if they're going to run into Kansas City. I just don't think
Not to say if you want to compare them to Kansas City, sure, they might be one player. They might be more than one player away from Kansas City, but they can compete and they can get to a Super Bowl if they have a different path, probably.
Maybe. And I asked Howard yesterday, if they play the Chiefs 10 times, how many times did the Bills win? And his knee-jerk reaction was 3, which, you know, that means you win a couple times, but it means you are going to be an underdog going in. The thing I'm thinking about, Sal, for this offseason, I don't know if it's offense, I don't know if it's defense, I don't know the biggest addition. I kind of want the Diggs trade, the sequel. Maybe a Diggs trade for the defense. Can I get a piece that can come in and I know he's good, he can play in the league, he's got years left, and he takes the defense to the next level? This doesn't mean it's my only move. You know, of course, I'm trying to add to the offense too and maybe find a better tight end, maybe find more speed at offense. What it comes down to is I look at the Chiefs, and I know they have Hill, and I know they have Kelce, and I know they have Mahomes. And no matter their cap situation, those three things are probably not changing. So the Bills have Allen, and they have Diggs, and they have Brown and Beasley, and they have some nice players behind Allen and Diggs. But I do think that what I'm looking for is I've got to find somewhere a freak, you know, someone that is such a problem for the other team to deal with, whether that's offense or defense. And, you know, saying that you want that is easy. Finding it is harder. but that would be what I'd be looking at. You know, some off seasons are about depth. Some are about supplementing. And others are about, we do think we're one player away. And we got to find that one guy, wherever he might be.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I was just reading just a little while ago. Dan Orlovsky was, you know, tweeting a couple things about the game. And he wrote something about how I'll read what he said. He said, on 3rd and 4 in the second quarter with 21 seconds on the clock, that's when the Bills were down. That's when the field goal debate we had right before the half, mm-hmm. right? He said, basically, Josh throws it to Knox for a 2-yard gain. He said he credits Tyrann Mathieu. He believes he spooked Josh Allen into thinking out that all-out pressure was coming and forced Allen to bail on his drop, and the ball came out too fast. Now, look, the Bills have great safeties, so I'm not saying they need a safety, but that's what you're talking about. A guy like that who, oh, my God, there's, like, their best player on defense. What's he doing right now? I have to change what I'm doing right now. That's what Dan Orlovsky is basically saying happened on that play. And again, I'm not saying it has to be a safety. I think Jordan Poyer or Micah Hyde are excellent, right?
Yeah.
But if you have a player who is either a pass rusher or a linebacker and you can do the things like that, like Tyrann Mathieu is doing here, according to what Dan Orlovsky is saying, he completely changed the play for the Bills, which made it the result absolutely different than what it could have been.
It's great you mentioned him specifically, because everything that's been said about what Diggs did for this offense, not just the talent level, but kind of leadership, attitude, swagger, whatever you want to say, If you read about Kansas City when they got Tyrann Mathieu, it's the same story. That when he arrived there, their defense, from an attitude, from a whatever standpoint, things changed when he showed up, and it mirrors what happened with Diggs here.
It's a great point, you know, and you do wonder, you know, about that side of it and if the Bills feel they need that a little more. You know, we talk about them being passive in that first Kansas City game, right? Now, I don't think their general philosophy is to be passive, but I do think, like, they play the kind of team defense that they're just solid and all around, that maybe they do need a bit more of an edge. Maybe they do need a bit more of an attitude. And again, I'm not sitting here saying these guys aren't freaks and tough and all that. That's not what I'm saying at all. But you're right. I mean, there's to be that guy, like Diggs comes in and now suddenly, like, you know, that guy's going to – you're going to see him barking all the time. And he's not barking because he's yelling at people or things like that. But you know that, like, he's got an edge to him and you're going to war. You got a guy like John Feliciano like that, of course, right, on the offensive side. I think Josh Allen is like that. Maybe you have to look for a player or two that can bring a little bit more of that to the defense. Even though the guys over there are really smart, they're really good, they know their job, maybe that's something that's also missing.
You know, I'm thinking about last year's defense. You know, they lost pieces. You know, we know that. We know they lost Lorenzo and Shaq and Jordan Phillips. And I wonder, how would Bills fans feel about this year's offense and last year's defense up against the Chiefs? Would you like their chances more, and would it be enough?
Maybe. I think most people would say yes because of the numbers, the drop in numbers, you know, on the defense. And I think people would say, you know, Jordan Phillips, Shaq loss, you know, what they do. Star, you know, obviously Star. And Star's really quiet guy, so he doesn't fit into the attitude part of it. But they did win 15 games, you know.
I know
it was mostly on the strength of the offense, but the defense obviously certainly did enough to, you know, beat their part and to win 15 games. But probably, Jer, I would say, yeah, I think Jordan Phillips is the guy like that, right? Jordan Phillips brings that kind of thing we just talked about. He is that particular kind of personality. Exactly what you're talking about right now. Shaq Lawson is too. Probably to a little lesser extent, but Shaq Lawson is as well.
It's going to be fun.
And you did. You lost both of them, right? I mean,
yeah.
There's something to be said here. This is, you know, a good discussion to have, I think, going into the offseason. Like, it's not just the players. You're right. I mean, you lost guys like Shaq and Jordan Phillips, who really, you know, and Lorenzo too, right? I mean, Lorenzo, not quite like that, but I mean, like, you lost some interesting personalities that maybe the defense could have used a little more of.
Yeah. Howard, you know I love my analogies. What this offseason is for the Bills, they're the golfer who broke 90 and then broke 80, and now you got to try and break 70, and that is hard to do.
Yeah, right.
You know, as you get better, it gets harder to figure out what that last piece will be.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, as you guys were talking about the piece on defense, is it the J.J. Watt? I mean, is it somebody – oh, it's Chris Trapasso from CBSSports.com said if Denver declines the option on Von Miller's contract, is it a destructive kind of player off the edge on your defense?
I think that's the number one focus if we're talking defense, all right? You know, you can think about getting a guy in the draft, but you don't get – a really great pass rusher at 30 in the draft. You just don't. Now, a guy could, like, come in and surprise you, of course, right? But generally, if you're talking about a really disruptive piece to come off the edge that teams have to game plan for, that's a top 10 pick. That's a Chase Young. That's a Bosa, right? The Bills aren't in a position to draft that guy. And by the way, they just drafted a defensive end last year in A.J. Epinesa, and he's not that kind of guy. I think he's going to be a good player for a while. So you're going to get a guy like that, I think you either have to trade or get him through free agency. And that's going to be a challenge this year due to if you're going to trade for a guy, he's going to have a hefty contract. A guy like that's already been paid, or you're going to have to pay him.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's assets that come along with that, which is fine, you know, because they're in a position where maybe they can, like Diggs last year. I don't know how much money they would have to sign a guy like that. There's got to be some maneuvering. We know the challenges of the salary cap. But I agree with you, Howard. I think, like, or the person who asked, but that to me is the one thing that's probably been missing actually for a couple of years now. And we talked about it, which is a serious edge rusher that teams actually have to account for every time they get into a third down.
And then there's going to be the question of, will this player help me beat every team except the Chiefs? You know, because the way Mahomes threw it on Sunday, 2.4 seconds, right. You know, there are going to be players you draft like a defensive end, and a stud pass rusher. If you're playing Tua, then he's gonna just crush him, right? If you're playing Sam Darnold, you're gonna crush him. And then when teams can scheme past that, it's just the challenge is built in. This is getting to the top. It's tough.
Yep, and you know, to beat the Chiefs though, it's they're gonna have to do something different, play a little bit different on defense. But you know, they didn't play well offensively either. And you know, and we've talked about this. You know, I've been thinking a little bit about, you know, the running back position and, you know, how they want to go about that, because I don't think philosophically that, you know, this is not a team that philosophically, I think they've done it the right way at running back. They got guys on rookie contracts. They're not paying like Ezekiel Elliott or Christian McCaffrey money. They're not spending first round picks, but they are picking 30th now. And I did think about the fact that the Chiefs chose Clyde Edwards-Helaire last year with the,
in the
first round. Right. I mean, again, I'm not ready to just say, oh, swap out Singletary Moss for a first round pick running back. That's an interesting usage of assets. But I do think they need more speed and someone who can threaten more versatile out of the backfield.
Sal, you're going to do the same thing I've been doing, which is I know you're not supposed to take a running back, but at the end of the first round, there's that little sweet spot. Mm-hmm. You get them for cheap.
And I was thinking, I said to Jeremy, again, without doing draft work, I was thinking about a tight end or another receiver, because one of the things that bugged me about the Kansas City game, Sal, was, I mean, I was confident the Bills got to a point where their defense, there were so many weapons in the passing game, there's no way you just couldn't stop it. And here's Beasley yesterday, essentially they took Diggs and Brown out of the game. And I didn't think you could do that. I mean, here's Beasley talking about a critical moments in the game yesterday, or excuse me, critical moments in the game Sunday. They were doubling both Diggs and Beasley. And Brown, really, what did Brown have? Two catches. He was a non-factor. So for me, I didn't think that you could find a defense to be able to do that effectively. They did. And so that was, you know, get a tight end or get a speed receiver, get another weapon. So make it even tougher for the Kansas City defense to try and stop the Bills' passing game. I didn't think they could, but they did. So I was thinking about those guys.
So it's funny because you think about it this way. The Kansas City Chiefs, you know, really this is their third straight championship game. It's the third year that Patrick Mahomes has been, you know, he comes in 2018 and he's just incredible, right? What do they do in 2019 with their first pick, second round? You know who they drafted?
No.
Hardman?
He threw 50 touchdowns in 2018. And then their very first draft pick in 2019, they take Mecole Hardman.
Yeah. I think about – I used to make this point about Atlanta, Sal. Matt Ryan was a stud, and they threw it all over the place. What did they do? They drafted Calvin Ridley the first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once you get that offense, you've got to do everything you can to keep it rolling.
Right.
That's right. So I think the way to approach this is to think about it is this way, which is – and, again, I'm looking at the Chiefs as the model. Okay, why not? They draft Mecole Hardman with their first pick, which is the second round in 2019, after their MVP quarterback has 50 touchdown passes. And then the following year, they take Clyde Edwards-Helaire with the last pick after winning the Super Bowl to add even more to the offense. So the philosophy, and people can say like, oh my God, but come on, look at the defense this year. But you know what? I really do. When I say this, I have a lot of faith in Sean McDermott. Like, he'll coach. They'll be okay on defense. Yes, do they need a couple things here or there? Of course they do, right? That's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen with Matt Milano. But I know this, and I've always had faith in this. Like, even with a little lesser talent, McDermott will be fine coaching the defense. And whatever happens with Leslie Frazier, they'll be okay over there. They don't have to be a top five defense to win games. But if they can keep adding to the offense, I know that they'll have a good enough defense because of who the coach is.
All right, listen, Don't leave your phone. We're going to be busy with you the next couple days with the McDermott and Bean Zoom calls.
Okay, guys, I'll be on it today.
Thanks, Sal.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.